This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
And I started off by telling them, I bet you think that this older fat woman with gray hair can't teach you anything about sex.
The smell, the sense of smell, you know, hot sand has its own smell, and the smell of the salt water.
So I said to myself, okay, Mark Gold, you can't have what you want, number one. How about number two?
That was the most passionate, intense, potent thing that I have ever been through in my life.
So then my wheels started turning.
But certainly being alone, seeing that I wasn't the adventurer I thought I was.
I tried just about everything by the end. By the end.
Welcome to program number 18 of Hitchhiking Off the Map. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller, and I'm starting to feel like kind of a veteran here, 18 shows, but then I hear Michael Toms on New Dimensions Radio.
This is program number 2142.
Yeah.
That's amazing, 2,000 shows. That's an awful lot of dishes to wash, but that is the work. And this show is about journeys, and the journey that most people make is going to work. Whether it was my grandfather walking out every morning at 5 a.m. to slop the hogs and milk the cows and then off to the cornfield, or my mother driving 30 miles to work on the assembly line at the meatpacking plant, or later the office, the bookkeeping office, or me walking downstairs every morning to the computer and complaining how very hard I work. It is a trip.
So this is our celebratory Labor Day special. Some of y'all are hearing this before Labor Day, and some maybe way after, but so what? We all work.
So what we're doing today, well, I wish it could be celebratory. One of these days, we will do a true celebration of the dignity of work, the labor movement, the things we'd all really like to celebrate. I think today it's more reflections on how many people feel about work, namely, oh no.
Oh, now, last week I just applied for Social Security. We need that money right now.
We're secure now.
Yes. Yes, right. And looking at the fine print, I realized, now, if I were making $1 million a year on investments, I'd still get my full Social Security benefits because I'm not working.
You should have thought of that sooner.
But if I work for a wage for more than 40 hours a month,
a month, not a week,
to supplement that big fat check, then they reduce my benefits because I have an income. So, happy Labor Day.
Let's start this slightly toxic celebration in the realm most of the American working class aspires to, at least according to the media, the managerial class. This is 20 years. Hello, dear. I'm late. Sorry I'm home. Here, let me find my hat. Well, here it is. My 20-year service plaque.
Oh, this?
No, this is a letter saying I'll receive the plaque. They didn't have the plaque ready.
A 20-year service plaque? You'd think they would have had time.
It was really my fault. It was my department's job, personnel, so I dictated a letter for me to receive in its place.
Would you like a drink?
No, I had one at the presentation.
Did you present yourself the letter, too?
No, public relations handled that. It wishes me another happy 20.
Please, have a drink.
I don't need another.
Yes, you do.
Is something wrong?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Well, let's follow channels.
We can't. I'm giving notice.
Notice?
1 month notice. I want a divorce.
It would really be better to follow channels.
No channels, no process, no system, no procedures. Divorce.
But isn't this somewhat out of the ordinary?
Please don't make this hard for me. I don't want to part on bad terms.
Well, there must be some problem.
Can you imagine what?
Could I check the file?
No. Darling, for the last... I don't know how long I've put up with it. You seem to have a need. The 20-year company service thing was kind of a goal, but the last few years, our lives have changed.
No, we talked about that, checked the minutes. We decided I wouldn't bring company work home at night.
But you bring yourself home.
Well, yes.
You bring home your mind. I know. You've tried to get things organized around here. And I'm not capable of organizing the alphabet, but things are out of hand.
You could always file a complaint. We reviewed them every Thursday.
Here, I sat down and I made a list of... Oh, wait, that's it. I made a list. I don't want to make a list. I want to scream and walk out.
Dear, I understand. You don't have to make a list. There. Problem solved.
Oh.
Yeah, the purpose of lists and schedules is to make things efficient. The schedule is a tool, and if it doesn't work, then...
But do we even have to have a schedule tool?
I know, but... Isn't it better that we do? Suppose I look at you and think, oh, yes, let's do. But then I think, did I sort the garbage? Did I remember to process the cat? It breaks the mood.
Dear, when this began, you said, let's get organized.
Yes.
So we did. Then you said, let's put it all down on paper so we don't forget.
Yes.
So we did. And the day finally came when you sent me this. In receipt of your communication of the 11th decision pending clarification of deposit status, if total deposit exceeds the sum of previous average, debit the deposit to your management fund. Please reapply on deposit form and include a projected estimate of frequency of deposit, content of deposit, and description of undeposited shortfall.
Isn't it clear?
I'd ask you to clean out the cat pan. Darling, not everyone lives like this.
Not everyone understands management procedures.
Dear, I know you don't dock me bonus points because you enjoy it.
Right.
And you don't keep potty charts on the kids because you enjoy keeping potty charts.
It's a bore.
You personally don't get satisfaction.
No.
And it drives me crazy.
Sure it does. That's natural.
Then why do we do it?
Now, could we just... stop fighting a minute and think. Let's not say a thing. Let's just sit here and collect ourselves.
All right.
I just don't see you.
You said stop a minute.
Yes, and not jump to conclusions. We should examine all the options before we make conclusions and try to make our conclusions reflect complementary points of view.
Stop a minute.
Oh. Yes. While we're doing that, could I say something?
Why not?
We can't leave things to chance. We have an investment built up over many years, and it has dividends, and we have to protect the investment to protect the dividends. So it seemed to me that we don't want to risk basing our marriage, which is our investment, on the particular fallible personalities of the two parties involved, you and I. We have our faults, and we're equal, of course, but in some respects we're unequal, but we're equally unequal. So I just feel that it would be more stable if our relationship is grounded on proven, systematic structures that have nothing at all to do with the people involved. That way we don't really enter into it ourselves. We don't have to worry. We have insurance. We'll be safe.
Safe? What about my plans?
Plans?
The window plans.
Oh, I needed the space.
You needed the space.
For the files.
The files.
Yes, the files.
The files for the duplicates or the files for the triplicates. It couldn't be the files for the originals because they're in the bread box.
All right, but what would happen if we lost those
what
files?
What would happen?
What would happen?
What?
What? I wouldn't want to find out.
Dear, I thought we could work it out. Find some way to be as safe as you want us to be. But I guess I'm just too scared of... being that safe. I found these.
What?
Rubber stamps. Confidential. Classified. Eyes only.
Well, save for your shopping list. Suppose the neighbors saw that. Put this at the top, then if they see it, it's at their own risk. Or what about underwear? What about our procedures? Things could easily get out of hand.
Yes. Open your shirt.
Why? I will not.
I saw you.
What?
The door was open.
No.
You were stamping yourself. Top secret.
It's time to stabilize our outlook.
You stabilize it. I'll leave you the reports on the children's potty dues, the children's progress files, the children's projected achievements. I'll take the children.
Sign out for them.
No, I'm embezzling them.
Darling.
Yes.
I can't say I'm not upset.
Good.
Just remember,
I will.
That I'm here.
Yes.
And if you ever need a letter of recommendation.
That was 20 years, and the engineering was by our friend John Yule in Anvil, Pennsylvania.
A brilliant audio engineer whose sense of humor is unimpaired by technology. Now, that story is satiric in a way, and it's an old piece. We don't like to poke fun at suburbanites, since we ourselves live in the suburbs of a town of 7,000. But in a sense, you know, it does reflect a kind of New Age impulse toward a holistic concept of life. Why separate the workplace from the home? Why not combine the worst features of both?
You beast. Let's take a vote. Raise your hands if you're listening now, right now, even if you feel silly doing it.
Yes, yes.
Here's the question. How many would truly say that your work is deeply fulfilling, that it meshes with your soul aspirations?
And how many would say, well, it's not a transcendental experience, but it's okay. I'm happy to get out of bed and do it.
And how many would honestly say, dear God, let me win the lottery?
It's not really on the political agenda, is it? Our sense of the function of our work. The closest we can get is, give us a living wage, give us a cost of living increase or some safety standards. But give us some credit for washing your dishes. Give us some honor for doing a decent job fixing your streets or enforcing your laws. Treat us like adults. That's not listed among the issues.
Dedication.
Dedication, yes. This program is dedicated to a member of the working class who is now deceased. She is responsible for making this program happen. Yes, we do receive some funding from the National Endowment and some from our listeners. But the money that allowed us to really take the chance, this came from a woman named Margaret Pitzer, who worked 30 years as a bookkeeper for a trucking company, put her savings into a legacy that made it possible for us to risk about a year and a half of our time in creating this show and hopefully finding the means to sustain it. So it ain't brought to you by the Rockefeller Foundation. It's directly out of a lady's paycheck. Thanks, Mom. You are remembered.
And this story was inspired by a comment she made maybe 20 years ago. Now, the people at the office don't smile anymore.
This is Tell It Like It Is.
Who are you?
What?
What are you here for?
I was sent in. Camilla Leonard.
Oh, you're the one. Have a seat.
Thank you.
So, you've been here 2 weeks.
I started the day my divorce was final.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, how do you like your job, the people you work with?
Well, it's hard to get acquainted, you know, always on the telephone.
Like on coffee breaks, they're throwing their cups at the wall, doesn't bother you?
No, it takes a little get up. I think I'm getting along fine. Better than fine. Dandy!
Yeah, so there's a couple of things.
Oh, I need some feedback. Because this is my first job in, let's see, 8, 9 years?
I had a sack of peanuts.
9! Since I was married. You know, when you haven't used your talents, you're really not sure if you still have them. And of course, I do need the money. So I kind of see a new horizon. But I believe there's a lot of long, hard work.
You know, this is a business.
Oh, yes. My husband was in business.
My father started this business. Very simple. Tell It Like It Is Incorporated. There are a billion people out there who are mad, they are livid, they are purple, itching, belching with rage. They want to kill, but they got one problem. They're chicken.
Or it could be.
So they come to us, and for a modest fee, we communicate their message by telephone to the person they want to dump on.
We tell it like it is.
Simple. Hello, I have a message. Will you accept it? Okay. You slob, a kiss from you is like eating a live chicken. Goodbye. Hiring us is like hiring a hitman. It's humane because it's quick.
My supervisor used the image
of... It's impersonal. Where's the damn peanuts? I'm trying to stop smoking. Oh, here it is.
Oh, that terrible yearning.
Mrs. Leonard. Huh? Mrs. Leonard, what is this? Here is a call to Boston, a 3-minute message. You were on for an hour and a half. What are you doing on that phone?
Calling.
Don't get smart with me. What is this?
Well, that is a telephone bill. We all get telephone bills.
You talk an hour and a half person to person to that person.
He couldn't understand the message.
An hour and a half he couldn't understand the message?
He kept saying, I don't understand. I can't understand it. He really needed to talk.
Well, he can talk to the wall, not to you. You're not paid to listen. You're not a professional nut farmer. You're doing about 15 calls a day. Even our dumb girls can handle 40 calls. You're fired.
Could I ask?
Look at these transcripts. You say, here, I have this message, but it's kind of mean. Are you sure you want to hear it?
I was trying to make it not so depersonalized.
Oh, hey, it's okay. She didn't mean that. You sound like a nice person.
He was crying.
This isn't the job for you.
You know... I don't think you realize what you have here. All these telephones. It's like little fingers reaching out all over the globe. There are so many people out there who ought to have a lot more phone calls.
But not from you. Not on my phones. You're fired.
But I haven't done anything dishonest. I've had lots of previous experience with honesty.
Okay. Try again. You have a message. It's laying over here in a pile on the right. You take it.
Let me point out, it's easier for me to take it from the left.
You take the message, read it, hang up. Simple. You want to try it? Here's one. Use my phone. Dial 9.
I really appreciate. You know, I can take criticism. I've had a lot of previous experience with criticism. I dialed my own number. Well, sorry. I just felt there's so much alienation and, dial 9. I do like these dial phones. They're more natural. This phone, though, is this a left-handed phone? I'm not used to... It's ringing. Hello? Hello? Mrs. Marie Schwartzberg? Yeah, this is Tell It Like It Is. We have a message. Will you accept it? Oh, no. There's no charge. It's prepaid. She has to turn off the stove. I always get caught like that. All right. Now, do you know a Tom? This says, Sincerely, Tom. Oh, your husband. Oh, you were. So was I, as a matter of fact. No, I'm getting off the track. All right. The message is... The baby's crying. See, because I do have communication skills, and I think a real knack for working with people. Hi there! Okay. The message is... Marie, you take your... Do you mind a little obscenity? Like, damn. That's pretty good. Hell no, she says. Okay. You take your damned goldfish and fry them for Sunday dinner. Sincerely, Tom. That's the message.
Hang up.
I have to hang up. Is that all right? Hey, listen. Do you have goldfish? Two fish and a baby. Why doesn't he like the goldfish? Oh, they're not goldfish. Japanese fighting fish? Well, then, how observant is he then, really? Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't really think he has his hat on straight, so to speak.
Hang up the phone.
No, but she's just beginning to handle it. You know, my husband was the same way. Oh, so did mine. But he still is able to really hurt me sometimes. Something about the children. Oh, yes, I have children. Not goldfish. Fighting fish. Fighting children. Well, I think you ought to cook up a huge fish dinner and send him the tails. Oh, well, I've enjoyed. Wonderful. Well, I'm glad. Sometimes some things start out terrible and it... Well, you've done the same for me. Bye.
Well, Mrs. Leonard, we're looking for the type of person that doesn't really give a damn. That's why we prefer a college graduate, okay? Okay? You upset? Like you want to tell me off, but you think you might start crying. Well, we got these standard messages for getting fired. Send me one of those. I'll call myself and tell me what a jerk I am. We'll bill you. I hate peanuts.
We were listening to Tell It Like It Is. John Yule did the engineering, and Camilla Leonard was played by our longtime colleague Camilla Shade, the living national treasure of Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
That came out of a show where all of the characters were named Leonard, or Lenore, Mrs. Leonard, Dr. Leonard. And as we did then, we have to say that this is not intended as any disrespect to those of you named Leonard. But I don't want to leave it there. Labor Day is about a struggle for recognition, about the intrinsic value of work, I think. And it's a bit ironic that we celebrate it with the sigh of, oh man, I get the weekend off, you know. But our vision is that gradually more people can be in a circumstance where the celebration is a celebration of what their work achieves, whether it's putting the food on 1,000 people's tables or building the bridges and the houses and the toys or teaching the mysteries of 2+2. What does the work achieve?
I remember once I traveled, it would have been around about 89 or 90. I traveled to a place called Wye in England. It's in Kent, the county of Kent, south of London. I had a relative who went to one of the colleges out there. And we were walking on the road, just by the road, and one evening. And I looked at, you know, the pavement by the road as you walk on. Wye is one of those old English towns. And somebody had written a date of something like 16-something or 17-something. And I looked at that and I thought to myself, hold on a minute here. Here I am working in this lovely, well-made road in this little, beautiful country town. It's a small place, actually, only a population of about 1,000 or 2,000. And I was thinking, here I am walking in this small town in England, and we in Cameroon, we say England is a developed country. This road here probably has taken, 400 years to get to where it is by a group of people who were selfless in their sacrifice to the betterment of the community. So as the years have gone by, generations came and built their own little pavement and built their own little pavement, and lo and behold, we have a beautiful road here. I think that's what I'll do to my community as well. I'll put my own little pavement somewhere and hope that, you know, it helps in making the place look nice and helps in making the road look better for people to walk on and for future generations to put their own pavements on.
That was a friend we've heard from before, Professor Martin Fusse from Cameroon, whose work is the teaching of theater, of America and Europe and Africa, and how it can directly affect the lives of people.
Well, that's our trips for this week. This is Hitchhiking Off the Map, a risky venture of the Independent Eye. To listen to past shows at any time or to contribute stories, visit our website at www.independenteye.org.
And thanks to our web spinner volunteers, Steve Willite, Eli Bishop, and Stephen Powell, you can now purchase CDs of the shows or anthologies, which include Ear Trips, 10 dramatic pieces from the shows,
or Life Journeys, 5 of our favorite real-life people.
And you can become a member of the Hitchhikers Guild right online. We're supported by a small grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, but we really depend on building a support structure of our listeners.
You can find that info at www.independenteye.org. And if you do it, we'll give you a gift CD and a membership card. Next show, The Chronicle of 5,000 Miles on Foot Across America, narrated by a fanatic reactionary pedestrian. That's his own description.
This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller.
Obviously. Who else? Wishing you a happy Labor Day or Labor Week or Labor Month, and that something good comes from your labor. And this is a voice we'll hear on an upcoming show, Mark Gold, who's just talking about work.
I'm here 8-9 months a year. I'm holding down a regular job. I got a briefcase. I got a car. I got insurance. I got a 1040 form from the IRS. so it's... For much of the year, it's conventional enough. So I just like having something to look forward to. The kiss of death to me as a little kid, and really to this day, little kids say boring, I didn't like the routine. I liked the variety. Even now, I have about 7 different jobs, part-time jobs, that I've kind of strung together, and I teach, and I do counseling, and I do things on the web, and I really like that variety. Somebody said to me once, "You're going to India on purpose?" He said to me, "Like, why would you go there? They're all starving." But, I'd rather be up there somewhere in the middle of nowhere, walking up to a remote monastery with some Tibetan monk who doesn't speak a word of English and I don't speak his language, and we're sharing my hat because the sun is strong. You can't beat it.